Thank you, Brother Bell. I appreciate that. Amen. If you would, look with us. We're going to begin, Lord willing, here in the book of Acts, chapter number 17. I want to say I appreciate the church. Amen. Appreciate the meeting, all the good preaching that we've heard, as Brother Bell said. Amen. And appreciate that. Appreciate the good food. Amen. And the good place to stay. We certainly appreciate that. Thank the church for everything that you've done to make the meeting possible. Somebody said it this morning, I believe, but we need meetings like this. Amen. We need to be encouraged. We need to be reminded, amen, of some things, and to be what the Lord would have for us to be. Amen. And I appreciate you praying for us, as Brother Bell mentioned. I'll actually be preaching for my grandfather Wednesday night there in Hayes, and then I'll be preaching in Larned, Kansas on Sunday. And so if you would pray for us as we'll be traveling, as he said. And then the marathon is next week now. This is the first day of the week, right? So not this weekend, but next weekend will be the marathon, Wednesday through Saturday. And so we'll be there at Island Ford for that. Be looking forward to that. Amen. And then we'll be back in Kansas on the next week with a camp meeting there at Lindsborg. But I would ask for you to pray as well. As I said, we'll be preaching my grandpa in Hayes there at the Old Paths Baptist Church there in Hayes, Kansas. And they are going to be constituting the work there in, I think it's the first week of May, sometime around in there. And my grandparents are moving back to Kansas because of their health and different things. In North Carolina, yes, thank you. I said Kansas. Moving back to North Carolina. And so I would ask you to pray about that. I know Paul wishes he could just stay there and start another work, but he's not physically able to do that, him and Granny, either one. And so I know the church here knows them, and I would ask for you to pray for them. They won't be moving immediately, but they will be moving soon. And so pray the Lord to help them in that. All right? Amen. All right. As we said, Acts chapter number 17, I've struggled with where to go. I felt like Brother Bell mentioned he might use me yesterday morning, and I had a thought that I thought I would use. I thought that I'd be preaching here. That's just kind of what I felt like the Lord would have for us to do. And then on the way here, the Lord started dealing with me about this. I almost never preach a message out somewhere that I haven't preached either at Pollard since I've been pastoring there, or before that I didn't preach at Island Ford or at Vision. I almost never do that. But the Holy Ghost started dealing with me about these verses. And I don't know that this will be a message. What we may do, we may preach this for a little while and then give you an example from the Old Testament. Might be what we do. But we'll just try to mind the Lord, whatever He has for us. But I was thinking about this, and one verse we're going to look at, but we're going to read down a few verses to get there. But I don't know that I've ever preached from this text. This one verse, but I have used this verse in many of my messages as just a thought in there. And I believe that every time that I've done it, I've realized this over the last month or two, every time that I've done it, I believe I put the emphasis in a place where God doesn't put the emphasis. And I'm not saying that that is wrong. How is it wrong to emphasize any part of the Word of God? Amen. But there is times Brother Moyes preached, was it last night, about Jesus and how that John put the emphasis on his praying. Amen. You go through the Bible and look, or on his thankfulness, giving thanks. Amen. On his prayer of thanksgiving. And you go through the Bible and look at where God puts the emphasis. And sometimes you'll see things you haven't seen before. Amen. And so I ask for you to pray for us as we preach here this evening, that the Lord give us the thoughts and also to direct our thoughts, amen, and that we would be open to the Holy Ghost dealing in our hearts, amen. Acts chapter number 17, if you'd like to, if you would stand with us, if you're able to do so, you can stand for the reading of the Word of God. If you're not, that's fine, but if you're able to do that, we'll do that. Verse number 1, we'll begin there in Acts chapter number 17. Bible says, now when they had passed, and he's talking about Paul and the men that was with him, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, Paul was going through planting New Testament churches. Amen. That was his goal, to preach Christ. But he went first to these synagogues where the Jews were that did not believe Christ. They didn't know Christ, right? And verse number 2, they went to the synagogue. Verse number 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. I'm glad that the Scriptures is not unreasonable. Amen. We can reason from the Scriptures. Verse number 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. That's what Brother McVeigh was preaching to us last night. Amen. And Brother Moyes as well, and this morning. Amen. We've heard that Jesus died for us and he rose again. Amen. Verse number 4, and some of them believed. Underline that. You can do it in your Bible, you can do it in your head. Some of them believed. And some of who? Some of those Jews that are in the synagogue. Right? Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, now that's not the Jews, that's the Gentiles, of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. So some of the Jews believed, and there's a large portion that wasn't Jews that believed. Amen. Verse number 5. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, these men, these that have turned the world upside down, are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And it's interesting that when they wanted, the Jews got angry at Christ here on the earth. And what did they do? They went to the Roman authorities whom they hated, and they said, this man deserves to die because he claims he's king. He's going against Caesar. Well, they didn't like Caesar anyhow. These Jews here, they don't like Caesar. But now all of a sudden, he's claiming that Jesus is king, and they go to the Romans authority in the land and said, they're claiming that there's another Caesar, there's another king. Amen. The devil doesn't change his tactics. You know why? Because they usually work. Amen. He's still using the same tactics he used in the garden. Amen. So here in verse number 9, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Verse number 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. They've just been run out of one city. Now, it doesn't look to me like Paul and Silas and the crowd that was with them fled for their life. It looks to me like the believers, the ones that believed there, was scared of Paul and Silas of their life and sent them away. They said, it'd be better for you to go somewhere else where maybe they might listen, amen, and receive what you have to say. So they sent them to another place, and Paul goes to Berea, the next town, and he goes straight to the same place he went to the first time. He went to the synagogue, amen. He went into the synagogue of the Jews. Look at this in verse number 11. This is my text. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, I said about the emphasis, I've always placed the emphasis that they searched the Scriptures daily. Now, that's a noble thing, to search the Scriptures daily whether these things are so. But I don't believe that's the emphasis of the Scripture. He's just told us about these Jews in the synagogue previous that rejected. They didn't receive the word of God. They rejected it. And then these Jews in the synagogue, they received the word, and then they searched daily whether these things were so. Amen. They didn't just take his word for it. He's the Apostle Paul. Amen. They researched what he had to say, but they received with all readiness of mind. Amen. Lord, help us when the preacher is preaching for us to receive the word of God. Amen. Amen. Look in verse number 12. Let's finish off this portion of Scripture, and then we'll get to the message. Therefore, many of them believed. Now, in verse 4, there were some of them that believed. Verse number 12, many of them believed. Many of who? The Jews in the synagogue believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So there's a lot of Gentiles as well, but there's many Jews that believe in Berea. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came hither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us as we preach here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful to You for Your many blessings upon us. Lord, we're thankful that we have an opportunity here to come to Your house, Lord, here on the Lord's Day, as we remember that You rose from the grave on the first day of the week. Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, we thank You for giving us opportunity, even not just the Lord's Day, but in the Jubilee services here at Sooner Rose. Lord, I thank You for these days that You've given us here. Lord, I pray You would help us now as we look at Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would help us to receive the Word as You meant for it in our hearts, Lord, I pray, and that we would bring You honor and glory in all that we do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank You for standing, and you can be seated. Oh, one thing, when I was just thinking about these, this one verse, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. I was thinking about this. I've always kind of thought, you know, well, the believers at Berea were much more noble than the believers at Thessalonica. But that's not the case. That's not what he's saying. You could go over, turn with me if you would. Hold your place here in Acts. Well, we may be back, I'm not sure. First Thessalonians. This is, Paul is ran out, looks to me about 3 weeks after he's been there. Paul is run out of Thessalonica. And he goes to the next place. He didn't stop. Amen. He kept preaching. Amen. And he went on and he went to Berea. Then he went to Athens and Corinth, all these places, and started churches. Amen. And he continued in the work of God. But here, if just reading in Acts 17, it looks to me like Paul or the writer here, Luke, is, or the Holy Ghost is saying that those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. But he's not talking about the believers. He's talking about the Jews. Because the Jews rejected the Word of God. Who are the Jews? The Jews are the religious ones. The Jews are the ones that believed they had it all figured out. They knew God. They knew the script. They had all of the Scriptures that come from the Jews, right? They were proud that they were God's people. But they wouldn't receive the Word that God sent to them. Amen. Now here in 1 Thessalonians, Paul almost immediately, they tell us, wrote this letter to the believers. He didn't write it to the Jews at Thessalonica. He wrote it to the believers in the house of God. Amen. Those that did believe. Look in verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse number 5. Very familiar scripture. But he says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost." Amen. So he said here that they received the word. So that's what he kind of said about them, that they didn't receive the word. But he's talking about the church. These are the people that did receive the Word of God. Amen? You know, you can sit in a church house where nobody else receives what's being preached, and you can get something out of it. Amen. I believe that. I believe you can sit in a church where, I think about Hannah. We know the story of Hannah. And I know I preached here, I think the first time I came here, I preached on Hannah. And Hannah, I personally believe that Hannah desired, the Bible tells Hannah desired to have a child, to have a son, to have a child. She was childless. She prayed for a child. But the Bible tells us she goes down to the temple. It calls it a temple, even though at that time it was the tabernacle. But it's the same. They have almost the same meaning. And that it was more of a. It was not moving now. It was in one place, so it was called a temple. But they were there. She came to the temple, and we understand that the fire was not supposed to go out. The Bible says, ere the lamp went out, it was about to go out. We know about Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, were wicked. They didn't desire the Lord. They didn't desire to do right. Right? Eli, the Bible tells us, is sitting there. And I've heard preachers say this, and I think that they're right to a degree. They say that there's no place for the priest to sit down. The priest, I forget now, I believe it's, was it 20 or 30, maybe 30 years old, before a priest could become a priest, could minister in the house of God. And then he ministered till he was 50. Was that right? I believe that's right. For 20 years, the reason is because they didn't want young men because they were immature. They wanted them to be mature and to reverence the house of God and the work of God and realize the heaviness that God had placed upon them to do God's work right. Amen. But then it was a very busy work. There was never a time to sit down. There's never a time to stop. It was always busy. And so as the men would get older and they were busy in the work, they could not do it like they once could. And so God would have for them to raise up the next generation to do it, right? And that was God's plan. God said, the priest is only for these years. It looks to me, I wonder if maybe Eli is probably past the years.
Right.
Why is he still? He's sitting down. He's not able to do what he once was. He's trying to do right. He's trying to keep everything going like it always has been, but he's not able to do that. And he's there, and the lamp's about to go out. The priest is about to die. And the next in line are not worried about what's going on. And Hannah says, Lord, I'd like to have a son, but you need a man in your house. You know what God did? God gave Hannah a son to give to him before he gave her sons for herself. Amen. But I think about this. Hannah had to continue to come. How long did it take before she gave Samuel to the Lord? She gave him in her heart to the Lord immediately. Amen. But she raised him to a certain age. He was a young man. A young child, she weaned him, the Bible says. She gave him to, every year she had to come back to the temple, had to come back and see the same priest that was failing even more this year than he was last year. And, but God was preparing, amen. Amen. And so I believe that. I believe God was blessing Hannah even though the situation wasn't the way it was supposed to be down at the house of God. I'm thankful we've got some good churches, amen, here in America. I'm thankful we got some that are preaching the truth. But there's some people that are going to churches that they're not hearing very much truth. They don't have any other choice. I believe Hebrews 10:25 still applies even if you don't have a perfect church to go to, don't you? Amen. I don't believe there is such thing as a perfect church. I believe we're still supposed to be faithful to the Lord. Amen. And I think about that. You can sit on a church pew with people that are not. You can sit and listen to a preacher that is not what he should be, and you can still get help from. You know why? Because it's the Word of God. You didn't get what you got from your preacher.
Amen.
God saw fit to give you a preacher to preach the Word of God. But the preacher didn't give you anything unless it come from the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, thank the Lord. That's not an excuse for us preachers to not be what we should be. Amen. But it is saying that if you come to the house of God expecting something, I think you're going to find something from the Lord. Amen. No matter if the Sunday school teacher ain't right, no matter if the preacher's not right, no matter if whatever the case is. Amen. We just do our best to be right. And we receive the Word of God. That's what they did here. Even in Thessalonica, the believers received the Word of God. Look with me in chapter 2, verse number 9. Paul said here, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. That's one of the qualifications of a man of God, is to be blameless. Amen. Amen. If the man of God is blameless, if there's nothing you can point your finger at the man of God and say, that is sin in your life. Right? That is open sin. There's not. I understand we have to deal with the flesh, we have to deal with our thoughts, we have to deal with all. I'm talking about sin and commission of sin. Right? If there's nothing there, then why would we not receive what the man of God is preaching? Amen. If he's blameless, why do we have to say, I understand we preach the Bible, and we should be full of the Bible when we're preaching. But there are some principles that run throughout the Bible that the man of God has studied and is bringing to you. That and sometimes we almost demand to see chapter and verse on this, and it say exactly like this for us to believe it. It's like if the man of God is in the Scriptures and he's preaching the truth, we should receive it. And then, like Brother McVeigh preaching last night, he's talking about just study it out. Amen. Go back. Amen. Study it out. Amen. Believe what is being preached until you see something in the Bible that says it's not right. And then talk to the man of God about it. Amen. But I believe we should receive the Word of God. Here he said he's blameless before him. Walked holily and justly and unblamely. And verse number 11, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you. I like Brother Jamie's definition of charge, don't you? Amen. Every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That's part of the preacher's. That Paul was telling them, I'm charging you as a father does his children. Some people say, well, I'm not going to obey any man. If you don't obey any man, you can't obey God. Because God tells us to obey them that rule over you. The Bible tells us to obey the magistrates, the ordinances. And if you look at that, you go to the next verse, he said in 1 Peter, he tells you what those ordinances are. King, governor, council, amen, or magistrate. All of these things. Amen. God expects us to obey man as long as they don't go against God. Amen. The men in authority over us. Amen. You say, nobody's going to tell me how to live. Paul did. Amen. Amen. Paul did. Lord help us to receive the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Look, keep looking here in verse number 12. It says that we would walk worthy of God, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. You can't walk worthy enough for him to call you. Nobody gets saved because they walked worthy. But once you are saved, you should have a desire to walk worthy of the one that called you. Amen. Verse number 13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Amen. He goes on talking about how they became followers of the churches of God which were in Judea. Remember who Paul is writing to. He is writing not to the Jews of Thessalonica. They rejected the Word of God. The religious crowd rejected the Word of God. But he's writing to the believers in the church of Thessalonica. These are mostly Gentiles. And he said, but you followed the Jews that believed in Jerusalem. Amen. Ain't that something? In Judea. Amen. Now, let me look with me in chapter number 4. We got one more place here in 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, and verse number 1. I'm just trying to show you. I thought that he was saying just a casual reading of it, thinking that he's saying that the believers in Thessalonica were not as noble as the believers in Berea. That's not what he's saying. All through 1 Thessalonians, he's telling them how that they received the word. Amen. Acts is talking about the city, the Jews there that did not receive. Verse number 1, he says in chapter number 4, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Amen. Ye have received of us how that ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Amen. So I got to thinking about this. He said these were more noble because they received the Word of God. And I believe that applies to everyone that receives the Word of God. Amen. God, listen. You can't go through the Scriptures without finding where God gave. It's all through the Scriptures. God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But it only does you any good, it only does me any good if we receive what has been given. I think back over my life, all that has been given to me through the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word of God, and how for the first several years of my Christian life, I didn't really receive that much. I don't remember if I used this illustration here or not, to be honest with you. I've used it a couple places, but I think it was last year. I was listening to a message, Brother McVeigh, I was talking to you at lunch about Brother Shook. I was looking on sermon audio at a text, and I was looking at different preachers that I knew and looked for them, see if they had preached anything on that text and listened to what they had to say about it. And I saw Brother Shook. His name popped up on that. And I said, well, I'm going to listen to that message. Amen. And I started listening to it, and it's a good message. I enjoyed it. I was listening to it, and I heard Brother Gray shouting amen in it. And I heard some other people that I knew. Amen. And I got to realize this is taking place at Vision. Amen. Where I'm from, there in North Carolina. I was there until I was 27 years old. And so I was like, man, this is a good message. Now, that must have been when I was at Pensacola, or that must have been after I left to come to Kentucky or something. And I was thinking about that, and I was listening to the message. The Lord has helped me in the message. When I got down to the end of it, Brother Gray or Brother Shook, one, I don't remember now which one said it, but one of them said, Brother Joshua, come up and play us a song of invitation on the piano. And I come up and I start playing on the piano. It's me, for sure, in the recording. And I don't remember a word that he said. Amen. I'm talking about how do we receive the Word of God. At that time, I'm sure I was a preacher. If you'd asked me a couple days later, I probably would have remembered some of it. But it didn't make an impression upon me deep enough that 5 years, 6 years later, I totally forgot. I even listened to the message again and did not recognize one word of the message. Amen. Didn't receive it. Lord, help us. Jesus told him there, he's talking about the parable of the sower, and every one of those, there's four types of soil. Every single one of them heard the message. The seed was planted. They all heard. The difference is not in what they heard. The difference is in how they reacted to what they heard. What did they receive? And Jesus said at the end of that, he said, take heed therefore how that you hear. Amen. Take heed how that you hear. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, he's giving all these short sayings there at the end. One of them, he says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Yeah. Amen. I believe you shouldn't just take a man's word for it. Amen. But there should come, if your preacher is blameless, if you have confidence enough for him to be your pastor, you should have confidence that he's preaching the truth. Amen. Yeah. Amen. If a man loses, Lord, I know of a situation where a preacher, he's gone now, but there is a mess. He's a good man and a good church, but the preacher wanted to do some things and the church didn't want to do it. And it involved buying something, and one of the men in the church told somebody, said, the preacher wants to buy that, and I just wonder if maybe he might be getting a cut on what When you start having those thoughts, you don't trust the man of God. Amen. How can you listen to a man of God you don't even believe he's been upright with you? Amen. We better guard against Satan coming in and planting thoughts in our mind that the man of God is against us, or the man of God is in it for himself, or whatever. And there are some that are. But if you're going to a good church, amen, and you've got a good pastor, you should thank the Lord for it. And amen. And receive the word that is being given. Amen. This word receive means to accept, to receive, to take. Amen. To receive literally or figuratively. Amen. And Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. If you have ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:14, I'll tell you why some people don't receive the word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, very familiar scripture. Paul said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are not spiritually discerned. The natural man, the lost man, amen, does not receive. If you've been listening here to the meeting this week and you haven't found one thing that you agree with, you might need to be saved. Amen. Amen. I know there's some things people say things differently and we would say them or whatever like that, but we've heard the truth of the Word of God. Amen. And we should receive it as that. Amen. Paul also said in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, talking about that man of sin and these that are follow after him, he said, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They're going to follow after a false gospel because they refused to receive the true gospel. They refused to receive what they had heard. Brother Babcock, I believe, was this morning talking about how that most of the world dies without ever hearing in the name of Jesus. Not only that, there's a lot that hear the name of Jesus, don't have a clue who he is. Never hear a clear presentation of the gospel. And yet they're still going to die, if they die in that state, and go to a devil's hell. As he said, because they rejected what God placed in creation for them to see. Amen. God has given them some light, and they rejected the light they did have. Now, we've got a lot more light than just the creation. Amen. If you're sitting here, you've heard the truth. Amen. Hebrews 11, Brother Jacob preached this morning on Hebrews 11, verse number 31. The Bible says, by faith the harlot Rahab. Rahab was a Gentile there in the land of Canaan. She was in Jericho, a cursed city. Amen. She was there. And the Bible says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. You want to know how not to perish? Believe. Amen. 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 Receive. Said she perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Look over with me if you would in Joshua chapter number 2. I want to show you something here that blessed me. The other day I heard a preacher preaching on this. He had a lot of good things to say about this chapter, but one thing really stood out to me that was I circled some things in my Bible here. This woman here was a wicked woman. And by the grace of God, two men came to her door. Amen. And she received them. Why did she receive them? Look in verse number 10, I believe this is the first place. Verse number 10, she said, For we have heard. Notice that's plural. We have heard. Who's the we? Everybody in the city of Jericho. We have heard how that the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did to the two kings of the Amorites, and that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She said, we all heard, and when we heard, we realized we're dead. We can't stand up against this God. We all realize that. They all come under the conviction that they were done. Right? They're all scared to death of these. That's why they're seeking after these two men come in the city, and they're trying to kill them because they're afraid of them. Amen? She said, we've all heard, but look in verse number 9. And she said unto the men, I know. We've all heard, but she knew. I knew that the Lord had given you the land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. I know. You see what was there? They all knew. They all had a head knowledge, as was talked about this morning. They all knew that God was going to deliver the children of Israel in the victory in the land of Canaan. They realized that. They saw what God had done. Even the Jews that were wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, they saw the hand of God providing for them. As Brother Babcock talked about the provision every day, water, food, amen. They say that in the daytime, they're in the wilderness, they get up well over 100 degrees. In the nighttime, they get down sometimes below freezing. You know what the Lord did? The Lord provided a cloud by day to cool them down, give them some shade. He provided a fire by night to keep them warm. Amen. The Lord provided for them all the way through the wilderness. The rebellious sons of Jacob, God provided for. And these heathens were watching. You know, heathens are watching you and me too. They're seeing whether we rebel against God or whether we follow Him. Amen. They pay attention. Amen. But I noticed there, they all knew it, but she believed. Amen. And that is why she welcomed them into her house. That is why she entreated them, she begged them for mercy because she believed God. Amen. If you believe God like she believed God, you'll get to the place where you'll beg God for some mercy. Yeah. Amen. 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 James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. He'll receive. Amen. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. Amen. We're getting ready to have a baptism. Because Sister Drenda has received the word of God. Amen. I believe that's one good way that you can know that somebody's been born again, is they'll have a desire to join up with the local church. Amen. And follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Amen. I believe that. Amen. And the Bible says in the same day they were adding unto them about 3,000 souls. Who's that? Those that gladly received the word. Amen. Now, I want to start not only the word received, but I see the word readiness. With all readiness of mind. Amen. Some people receive things and they don't really desire to, right? This is talking about a great desire for the word of God. Amen. Readiness. That word means a predisposition. Amen. Webster says with cheerfulness, gaiety, upright, or sprightliness, more usually a cheerful readiness or a promptitude to do some act. A cheerful willingness. He used an example of a group of soldiers that are going to take a city or going into a battle, and they will rush into the battle. That's their one goal, is to get into the battle. You know why? Because that's the only way they're going to live, is if they fight this battle and succeed. Right. Amen. So they have a cheerful willingness. They're just waiting for the commander to give the word charge. Amen. That should be us. Amen. This word, this Greek word here, Strong's number 4288, that's translated readiness of mind here. It's only used five times according to Strong's. Once here and five times in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8 and 9. And all of those times is talking about giving. Ain't that interesting? Talking about the believers being willing to give of a ready mind, of a willing heart. Those are the words it's translated into there. So he's talking about being willing to give, but just as God loveth a cheerful giver, we should be willing to give. We should be willing to receive the word of God. Amen. Amen. Psalm 1:2, the Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law shall he meditate day and night. Amen. Amen. Talking about being willing and ready to receive the word of God. Amen. We've heard a lot this week about the cross. I think that's right. Amen. It's a shame when we can sing songs about the cross, and I'm glad here this week we've rejoiced at the singing of the cross. Amen. Amen. But a lot of times we sing the songs about the cross and it's just dead. Don't stir up any emotion in our heart. Lord, help us. I believe what Brother Wayne says, we don't really believe what we're singing. Amen. Singing a lie. Lord, help us. Amen. Then he said, let me get to the last point here about this. Verse number 11 of Acts 17, he says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Yeah. Amen. And that is where I've always placed the emphasis. I'm trying to place the emphasis tonight on the receiving of the word of God, because I believe that's the emphasis God's placing there. But it is still true that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. So for the sake of alliteration, if you wanted it alliterated, we'd say the readiness and the receiving and the researching that's required. Amen. This word search the scriptures. They search the scriptures daily. That word search means to properly to scrutinize. That is, by implication, to investigate, to interrogate, or to determine. Amen. According to Strong's, the first time this word is used in the New Testament is when our Lord is standing before Pilate. And Pilate says, when he called together in Luke 23, verse 13, the chief priests and the rulers and the people said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in him, in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent him to you. And lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Do you think Pilate just kind of haphazardly looked at Christ? Just kind of said, well, I don't really think there's anything to all these allegations. No, he had heard of Christ. He didn't want anything to do with Christ. He would have loved to have an opportunity to kill Christ. And the accusation they brought to him was that he's the king of the Jews. And he didn't want, he had a personal interest in making sure there was not another king in Israel. Amen. He was going to examine him thoroughly, and he did. And yet he said, they had many people come forward to accuse him falsely. And none of them withstood the scrutiny. Amen. That's the level he's talking about, studying the scriptures, not with somebody already said this, I don't remember who it was. Somebody said, maybe Brother McVeigh, not with a critical spirit, try to find something that the preacher said that was wrong. No, we should try to study so that we can see for ourselves that what he is preaching is right. Amen? Amen. When our Lord was telling us about the rich man and Lazarus, God had Abraham to tell the rich man. The rich man wanted him to send Lazarus back to his brothers because he realized he had five brothers that's following his footsteps and want to come to the lake of fire. And he wanted them to send Lazarus. I believe he wanted them to send Lazarus because he knew that Lazarus was a witness. I believe Lazarus laid at his gate and probably told the rich man about the Lord. About the truth. I believe that's probably true. He knew. I wonder if If we were to get to the other side, to eternity, if any of our lost loved ones would want to send us back to their loved ones to witness to them like we've witnessed to them.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, help us to have a witness here. Amen. But Abraham told them he wanted to send Lazarus back. Abraham said, they had Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Yeah, they have to hear the word of God. That's what he's talking about. Amen. Look with me in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Talking about receiving the word of God. Talking about researching. Amen. Studying the word of God. That's one way you receive it. I believe this, that there are some things that I have saw in the word of God when a preacher was preaching that I probably never would have saw on my own personal study.
Amen.
Amen. Then there's other things that I've saw in my personal study I've never heard a preacher preach. Amen. You can't have one and not the other. You need both. You need to study and you also need to receive the word. Amen. Amen. Here in chapter number 5 of the book of John, verse number 37. Jesus here is talking. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures. That's the same word that's found in Acts 17. Search the Scriptures daily. They search the Scriptures daily. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. I believe our Lord would recommend here, according to these verses, if you don't know whether you're saved or not, Lord recommend you search the Scriptures. Amen. He'd recommend that you be in the house of God every opportunity that you have.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have it. The Scriptures will reveal your relationship with the Lord. Brother Vic talked about that mirror. Amen. That's what the Word of God is. It's a mirror. And it reveals to me what I really am. Amen. Verse number 40, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. That's what he's talking about earlier. You don't believe the truth, you're going to believe a lie, the Bible says. Amen. How can ye believe? How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor which that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Amen. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So he wrote of me. The word of God, all of Moses' writings, all the prophets, all the Psalms, amen. They're pointing us to Christ. Amen. There's one purpose for the word of God, and that is to point man to Christ.
Amen.
I believe that is why Paul said, the natural man receiveth not the word of God. This natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. The natural man looking in the Bible is not looking for Jesus. He's looking, trying to find out where Cain got his wife. He's looking to try to find out, all of these different things. That when you get to eternity, ain't going to make a hill of beans difference. Amen. Trying to find out where did the earth split? Right? Trying to find out all these things. No. The Bible teaches us that the Word of God, these things Moses wrote of me, Jesus said. All of the only thing that Jesus is trying to tell us, even when he's telling us about creation, is not telling us about creation, he's telling about Jesus. Amen. That's the purpose behind it. That's why he doesn't tell us how the molecules formed and all. He just says God spoke it. That's talking about the power of God. Amen. And glorifying God in it. Amen. Amen. If you try to find out something else from the Word of God, you'll probably go astray. If you try to look for Jesus, amen. Amen. You'll find them in the pages of the Word of God. Acts 26:22, the Bible says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Paul said, when he stood before Festus there, he said that Moses is writing about Christ, about the death of Christ, the burial, and the resurrection. They didn't see that, but that's the purpose of it. Amen. I've got written down here for 1 Peter 1. Brother McVeigh took that as his text last night. Amen. The prophet searched diligently. That's what these believers at Berea did. They searched diligently in the Scriptures. Amen. And the prophets, they didn't understand everything they pinned down. Amen. That's what Peter's saying. They didn't understand it, but the Holy Ghost said, write this, and they wrote it, and then they studied it and tried to find out, what did that mean? Right. Amen. God knew what it meant. Amen. I wonder if some of those prophets didn't think that some of what they was writing, they was writing about themselves. But God wasn't writing about them. God was writing about Christ. Amen. He was giving us instruction about Christ. Amen. Luke 24, I'll read you one more scripture here. Luke 24 and verse number 44. Luke 24, 44. The Lord is on the cross. Verse number 39. He's on the cross. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. He's not the only one saying that. He's joining in with the crowd, saying the same thing that the crowd is saying. Better be careful about just saying what the crowd is saying. Amen. Verse number 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Now, will you understand by reading all the four Gospels that this thief also cursed God before this? But at this point, he has realized that he's guilty and the Lord is innocent, dying for him. Amen. And he says here, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. I don't believe a man ever gets saved until he does just what this thief did and realizes I deserve the punishment in the lake of fire that is coming to me. I deserve that. I deserve all of the judgment and the wrath of God upon sin because I am a sinner. Amen. I'm as guilty as anybody else. You'll never get saved. You'll never get help from God until you realize your sin put Christ on the cross. This man realized I'm guilty, but he's not, and he's in the same place I am. Christ was numbered with the transgressors. He wasn't a transgressor, but he was numbered with the transgressors. Amen. And in verse number 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, it's a good thing to do when you realize that you're under the condemnation of God. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What did this thief think that he had ever done to deserve for the Lord to remember him? He's not telling the Lord he deserves to be remembered. He's pleading for the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. I'm thankful the Scriptures tell us if you call upon Him, He'll hear you.
Right.
Amen. He'll save you. I'm glad it tells us that. But no man ever got saved demanding that God saved him.
Amen.
Amen. You got to come in repentance and faith. You got to come broken with a contrite spirit. Amen. The Bible says that's the kind of man he'll hear. Verse number 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. I believe it happens just like that. When you get to the place, I don't believe God does not play games with sinners. Amen. Somebody said it, and I don't remember now which one said it. Maybe Brother Jacob, I believe it was, said it this morning. That when a man gets to the place where he realizes that he needs God, he needs something more that he cannot do for himself. Amen. He needs forgiveness from God. When he gets to that place, he didn't get there because somebody told him or because he thought it up himself. He got there because the Holy Ghost convicted his heart. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. Amen. And so when a man gets to that place, God is not saying, come down to the altar and play, and be there for a long time and try to get through. No, God is not trying to make somebody work to get through to him. The problem is we have a problem. We're not turning loose with something. We're not fully trusting on him. Amen. And so, as Brother Babcock preached this morning, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off another day. Amen. Don't wait if you're lost here this evening. Don't wait. I believe that when a man cries out to God in verse number 42, and the very next verse, Jesus answered. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't wait 3 minutes. He didn't wait 3 hours. Amen. He told him immediately when he called out to him, he embraced him. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. And the Bible says, verse 44, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. We understand that's noon to 3 o'clock, the middle of the day. That's not an eclipse. We had an eclipse this last week, had an eclipse. Dark for 4 minutes. There's never been an eclipse for 3 hours. Never has been, never will be an eclipse for 3 hours. Also, the eclipse that we saw was when the moon come between the earth and the sun. A solar eclipse. That only happens in the new moon. It can't happen any other time. When was the Passover observed? It was observed at the full moon. At the full moon is when the moon is opposite the sun from the earth. So, moon's in one direction, sun's in the other. That's why you see the sun shining, and when you're over here on the nighttime, you see the full moon shining. It's because you're looking at the side of the moon that the sun's looking at. You're seeing it. When the sun went out at noontime, the moon went out at midnight on the other side of the earth. I believe the whole world knew that something's taking place. Amen. The whole creation trembled, the Bible says. Amen. I believe there was, for 3 hours, there was darkness, not just over the whole land of Israel. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the earth was plunged into darkness. God was not going to look upon his son, and he was not going to allow sinful man to look upon his son when he was taking the sin of the world upon him. Amen. The Bible says in verse 45, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Thank the Lord for that. Providing access for us into the holy place. Amen. Verse 46, when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together that night, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Amen. Amen. Now, I said all that to say this. I've read the wrong scripture. Amen. Chapter 24. I believe the Lord wanted me to read that. I thank the Lord for that. Amen. He works in our mistakes too, don't he? Amen. Chapter 24, verse number 44. I believe Brother McVeigh read this last night. Talking about these believers here, the 10 in the upper room. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. You know, I believe that, don't you? I believe that's what the Old Testament is written about, is about Jesus. The New Testament is written about Jesus. Amen. The whole Bible is written to us about Jesus. But he says he opened their understanding. You know, when we're reading the Scriptures, when we're listening to the preaching, I think we need to pray and ask the Lord to open our understanding. Allow us to see the things that he would have for us to see in the Word of God. Amen. Verse 46, he said, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Amen. So I'm just saying, the Lord wants us to receive the Word. He wants us to be ready for the Word with a willing and a ready mind, amen, to receive the Word of God. Amen. And he wants us to search the Scriptures, see whether these things be so. Amen. As he said, not in a critical spirit, but in a spirit of wanting to learn more about the Lord. Amen. I'm glad the Lord made a way for us. Amen. Just like that thief on the cross. He made a way for us to be born again. Even in his death, they said, save thyself. Somebody said, he could have saved himself, but he couldn't have saved us at the same time. He didn't save himself so that he would save us. Amen. I'll leave you with the illustration. I believe when we get to the throne room, I believe when we get to heaven, we're not going to be looking at the pearly gates. Amen. We're not going to be talking to Moses and Elijah for 40 years before we get to Jesus. We're going to be going to Jesus. Amen. Fanny Crosby had it right when she wrote that song about he'll be the first one. How's it go? Y'all know which song I'm talking about. Amen. First of all, amen. See my Savior first of all. That's going to be our, not only is that going to be our goal, that's going to be reality. Amen. We're going to go to where he's at. We're going to see him sitting on the throne. Brother McVeigh, I believe when we see him, we'll see him, first of all, we'll already have a glorified body. We'll be rid of all of this flesh, amen, all the problems that it comes with, and all the sickness and all of that. Amen. We'll be rid of this, and the Lord will give us a glorified body. And we'll be standing there in our glorified body, and we'll look upon him whom we pierced. I mean, we'll look upon him, and we'll see the nail prints in his hand. He was marred beyond visage, right? Brother McVeigh preached about that last night. Talked about all the things. And when we think about the cross, we think about the sufferings of the cross, we think about the crown of thorns, the stripes on his back, all of these things. That was done by man. But that's not really the suffering that the Psalms entirely is talking about. Psalm 22, 14, I believe it is. All of those things is talking about on the inside. What took place on the inside was what God was doing to his son. That burnt offering's burnt in the middle. Amen. The inside. So what took place on the cross, what we can see is just a little bit of it. But I believe when we get there, we'll still be able to see, I don't know if you say scars, but the wounds in his flesh. I believe we'll stand there and we'll say, Lord, you look a lot like I used to look before I met you, all beaten and battered and torn up. And we might look down at ourselves and say, I look like you should look. Amen. You've given to me your righteousness. You've given to me your perfection. Think about the exchange that took place at the cross. He didn't just take our sin. Amen. He did. And I thank the Lord for that. That's what we needed. Amen. But he took, as Brother McVeigh preached last night, took our sickness. He took our infirmity. You look at somebody that's been out in the world for 20 years, and they look like they're almost 100 years old. Right. Amen. The effects of sin on the physical body. And Christ suffered that in his body for us. Amen. Lord, help us. And He did that for us, but it has to be received. He gave, but have you received what He has given? Amen, Brother Bell.